And then the background of the mix has to be that, like,
yeah. I was gonna do that. I couldn't think of a word that rhymed with or what would work, like leading up to it, but I definitely am gonna put it in there somewhere. Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it, I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't
know. I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me this week are the award-winning filmmakers, Mr. David Edmondson and Mr. Randy Van Dyke. How the hell are you two doing today?
Pretty good.
Oh, better than fantastic. I have had a 24-hour-long erection ever since I found out that we won.
There you go. And for those of you that are joining us for the first time, Randy's been talking about this movie for a couple of weeks now, but Dave and Randy actually wrote and directed a feature film called Nonstop to Comic-Con, which premiered over the weekend at the Geek Fest Film Fest at Atlantic City Boardwalk Comic-Con, also known as ACBC, and they won for Best Feature. How exciting is that?
So exciting. it was amazing. And we were super bummed because we really wanted to go out there. We wanted to be a part of it. We wanted to sit in on the screening because it really is the world premiere of the movie. It was the first time it was shown to an audience of people that didn't have anything to do with the production of the film. So we just wanted to see how it played to a proper geek demographic. And of course, we would have loved to have been there for the award ceremony. The awards were given out by Michael Rooker. They're supposed to be given out by Stan Lee, but he had to cancel his appearance at the convention.
You guys scared him away.
Apparently. Well, we were kind of tweeting like crazy for like the 48 hours prior to
I want to party with you!
Oh, man, we were going nuts. We were tweeting Kevin Smith, Stan Lee. We were just trying to get everybody on board. Like, hey, go see this movie. You're going to be there. We know you're going to be there. Go see this movie.
We should have tweeted Michael Rooker the picture Justin took at Comic-Con with him.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been amazing.
Like, hey, remember me?
Remember when you photobombed our best friend?
Yeah. He was trying to take a sweet picture, and your dumb head got in the way. Way to go, Yondu.
There was a sweet-looking trailer behind him that he had to get a photo of, and you just happened to bomb it.
And he knew it, too. He was just looking at you. He was like, giving you that death stare.
This guy's taking my picture.
He's like, motherfucker, I was at Days of Thunder.
I got a mouthful of carrot right now, and you're taking my picture.
It was a good one. But I am very proud of the both of you, and of course, this is a touring film fest, and the next official stop is the Long Beach Comic Con, correct?
Yes, it is in September, I believe, the 11th and 12th. I don't know the exact day that we're going to be showing yet, but yeah, it's going to be right in our own backyard. So
sweet. Now that you guys are award winners, are you just cutting to the front of the line or getting a bunch of free shit? What do you got going on?
No, they bring the free shit to me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we don't even need to traverse lines. No, I wish, but no, it's cool. We get a cool little plaque. We haven't I've seen a picture of it, and haven't actually got to hold it in my hands yet.
You need to take a photo of it and then put it in your wallet so you can flash it to get into places.
Yeah, but I've got it on my phone, which is kind of almost like today's wallet. It's kind of the same thing.
You should just walk around with the plaque then.
Yeah. We gotta win again so we both can have one.
Wear it around your neck exactly. like Flavor
like
Flav.
Like Flavor Flav, exactly. I was just going to say that. Just wear it around. See, the sad thing about that, though, is it's going to get all beat up. I want it to stay perfect and pristine.
Put it in one of your, one of those cases, like a star case.
One of those acrylic cases?
Yeah.
I'll put it in an AFA case.
There you go.
It's an authentic, graded, Best Feature Award plaque.
Yeah, well, what we'll do is when we get it, we'll say we didn't get it, and they have to send another one, and then we're like, oh, okay, now we got two.
Yeah, there you go. That's how we can settle the custody issue.
Dishonesty is the best policy.
I believe, especially in the film industry.
Yes.
Now, it was pretty cool. One of the things that we were worried about is because we weren't there to promote our film, because they actually had a booth there on the floor where you could pass out cards. any kind of swag or propaganda that you want to promote your movie. And I thought, man, there's no way we are going to, we're not even going to stand a chance to win this thing, because we weren't there to personally glad hand everybody and to be all social and promote our movie. So nobody's going to go see it. I mean, we had no idea whether five people showed up in the theater or 500. So, apparently everything ended up working out pretty well. And the way that I believe that it works, and I could be wrong, but I think the individual category awards were decided on by the professional and celebrity judges that they had. And then the Best of Fest award is the one that the attendees, the audience members, actually get to vote on. And that's the one that you really want to win, because that's where you get all the cool giveaway prizes that they're giving out for the festival.
Oh.
So that's what we aspire to next. We'd really like to take home that one. I mean, not for vanity's sake, but we're proud of this little movie. We want other people to love it too, and it would be awesome. It'd be awesome if the audience actually voted for us as well. But hell, I'm just glad that people enjoyed it at all. That's so exciting. It's such a wonderful feeling. David and I worked so hard on this thing.
Do you think you worked harder than the guys that made Mad Max Fury Road?
I don't think anybody worked harder than the guys that made Mad Max Fury Road. That was freaking insane.
Dude,
we were in air conditioning, so that we got one up there.
Seriously? Yeah. The whole movie was like on wheels. I was blown away at how hard this movie must have been to make.
In the sand.
Yeah. You see in the credits all those different crane operators and stuff, like arm cameras and all these things. I was like, oh my God, this is nuts, dude.
Makes you wonder how many cameras got destroyed in the production of that movie.
I don't know.
Yeah, just from the sand and everything. All the behind the scene pictures, you see these like just massive like things built off the war rig, and it's just insane how many people were making this movie.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
It was quite the production. I zany was the word that came to mind for me. It was just a circus.
Yeah, cinema circus.
Yes, there was so much shit going on, I was blown away. And I loved all the shots where it'd be like a close up of Charlize Theron or freaking Tom Hardy just like kind of looking in their mirror like, oh my God, I can't believe all this crazy shit's happening behind me. I love that stuff. I felt like they were in the audience too. Like, holy smokes, this movie's fucking nuts.
It was definitely fucking nuts, but it was good because it never tried to explain itself. It was just nuts from the beginning, and George Miller expected you to just go on this ride with him and just to accept everything at face value, and all of his characters seemed like legit characters that you would care about, like Furiosa, Charlize Theron's character, I think is like hands down like the best, you know, it gets thrown out all the time, you know, the best female heroine, but like, her character was great. It was like a redemptive story. You know, she wasn't trying to make apologies for her past. She was like, I need to do something right with my life. And by saving these girls, I can have some sort of redemption. And she was just a great character. And then Immortan Joe is the coolest looking villain since like Darth Vader. Like, I just love every bit of his look, I think is amazing.
I liked it when all the people they're about to have their glorious moment and go to Valhalla, and they'd spray their mouths chrome like their leader's mask was. That's basically what they were doing, right? It was like to be in his image of greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome. I dug that. I'm like, wait, you're chrome in your mouth? What's going on? What's happening? Too much, too fast. And that's another thing. I don't feel like I really got a chance to breathe until about 25 minutes in. When like the rig was broken down and the girls were taking like a little bath and getting a drink, that's finally when I got to just rest for a minute. I thought the movie was just so much shit was happening that I didn't know what to do with myself. I think I bit off all my nails too, and I hate biting my nails. What about you, Randy? You're the big Mad Max nut job around here. Where do you rank this one? I know you're a big. Big fan of Road Warrior. Is this better than Road Warrior?
I would say, as of my first viewing, it's on par with Road Warrior. I can't rank it above, and I'm hesitant to rank it below until I watch it again. But I would say it is leaps and bounds above Beyond Thunderdome. And I say that, and I even enjoy Beyond Thunderdome more than the first Mad Max, just because that doesn't have that same post-apocalyptic feel that I really love in the Road Warrior. But I'd say right now this is kind of a neck and neck tie with Road Warrior. I'd like to sit and watch them both back to back, actually, and then I could give you a good solid rating on both. But yeah, I mean, it affected me to the point where just even mentioning it on the same plane with Road Warrior is a huge compliment in my eyes. But yeah, I enjoyed the shit out of it. I thought it was a lot of fun. Everybody's super, super hyping it up. And after watching it, I was like, I don't think I quite felt that ecstatic and euphoric about it. But it was still a damn fun ride, and I enjoyed the shit out of it. So I'd still give it a solid A.
Charlize Theron just killed it.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of her, the only thing that kind of caught me off guard a little bit, and I'm not saying it's a negative thing, but it really felt like her character arc was more clearly defined than Mad Max's. It's almost like he was her sidekick or a side character, a supporting cast member in the majority of this film.
Right, like it was her story.
It really was her story, and we really saw her character shine, I think, more than we saw Max's character come through and shine and change and have a traditional character arc. So, and I know, I think that's one of the things that has like the whole, there's this whole anti-feminist thing that people have been posting lately saying that Mad Max Fury Road was basically a movie supporting feminism. And there's a lot of guys coming out and just trashing the movie because of that. I don't think that's necessarily the case at all. But I think people read things into movies what they want to, or if they have their own personal agenda that they want to get out, they'll pick something that's relevant in pop culture now and use that as their platform. And I really feel like that's what's going on with the people that are nitpicking Mad Max.
Right.
I didn't feel that way at all. I didn't feel like I was being preached to or anything like that, or that there was any kind of hidden feminist agenda in this movie. I think that's just ridiculous. I think that it was a just strong female lead in a good solid role model type of position that maybe at times upstaged Mad Max, and that might offend some people just because they're like, hey, it's a Mad Max movie. Where's the fucking Mad Max? I mean, I can get where people are coming from that point of view, but I don't think it should be looked at as a negative. I thought it was badass.
Yeah, strictly positive.
And chicks dig it too. So I mean, that's.
Well, I like that they didn't like beat us over the head with exposition. You know, we obviously were able to figure it out. Like Furioso was obviously one of Immortan Joe's like main people because you know everyone was like, yeah, she's awesome, and so obviously she was probably from a pretty bad place. And so, you know, this was truly a redemptive story. Same thing with Mad Max. You know, we don't know where in the timeline this is, if this is a reboot, if this is a continuation. This could be an entirely new thing. And, you know, we get glimpses that he's haunted by something in his past. So we can assume, you know, he's in the wasteland. Something bad happened to him. But we don't need to see, like, a Martha and Thomas Wayne massacre to know that, you know, shit went bad for him. Yeah. You know, he had a bad life. He's trying to find just something good in this world. And he sees in Furiosa and the brides, or the pretties, whatever you want to call them, he sees in them a way that he can kind of make a small piece of rightness in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said that he couldn't protect the ones that he loved, and he failed them. And that's all we need to know about him.
Yeah. And now he's got a second chance.
Yeah. And a lot of people died on his watch. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Nicholas Hoult. He was pretty amazing in this movie too.
Yeah.
He played the role of Nux. And he was quite the silly. But I liked
it. I didn't think I would end up liking that character as much as I did. Uh-huh. You know?
Well, because in the trailer all they showed us was the whole, you know, what a lovely day or whatever.
What a lovely day that I
have. Yeah.
You're like, what a nut job.
He named his tumors.
Yeah.
His two best mates.
Yeah, he was going to die anyway, so.
He went out the hero.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers. Oh, everybody. We haven't put out the spoiler yet? Yeah, spoiler alert. You know, we're going to spoil the shit out of
it. We'll have to put that in the show notes.
I mean, it's really the only thing. It's really the only spoiler. I mean, everyone else knows the whole premise of the movie, really. It's one long car chase. But yeah, spoiler alert. We will probably talk about the very end.
Yes. And it was cat and mouse, for sure.
I'm going to throw this out there, too. I'm looking at photos online of the Mad Max car from the Road Warrior, and the car that we see at the beginning that ends up getting destroyed before Mad Max has his run-in with everybody in this movie, it looks very similar to that. So one could say that this maybe takes place shortly after the Road Warrior, or at least somewhere not in the not-too-distant region of that timeline, just because his interceptor vehicle looks very similar with those two tanks in the back and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there for anybody who's interested in Mad Max continuity.
No, I like it. I can't.
I'm a continuity buff.
I'm trying to figure out what they say, like, before they die, like when they spray themselves. They say something about like shiny and chromey, almost like going to the Valhalla or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what they say, but it's all right. They'll come to me after the podcast is over.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig it. I wonder if we'll see any Mad Max cosplayer folk. I think it'd be pretty easy.
Oh, for sure. I've on Facebook. I'm following the Replica Prop Forum.
Uh huh.
And mainly because they post a lot of Star Wars stuff there, and I like putting together Star Wars costumes. But they showcased one guy's build of what's the name of the villain in Fury Road?
Morton Joe.
Yeah. They posted a guy's entire build of that costume, including the clear armor and that little teethy face hose mask thing that he's wearing. And it looked really good. I mean, it looked like it was fucking straight out of the movie. I mean, but yeah, we're going to see some amazing cosplay at Comic-Con this year, I have a feeling.
I'm cool with that. I think this movie blew Avengers out of the water.
Really?
I loved it so much more. I liked so much more than Avengers.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
I think the characters in this, I think they spent about half as much time explaining the characters in Mad Max, but their characters are 10 times more well-defined than characters that have had like 5 movies for us to understand. Mm-hmm. And I think that their villain was sussed out better. You know, obviously Marvel has a weakness with villains. I think that I was on the edge of my seat for almost the entire chase, and I think that very few directors could pull off, with the exception of maybe Luc Besson, who's tried. I don't think anyone else, maybe one or two other directors could pull off like a 2-hour car chase and keep you riveted for the whole time.
May he write eternal, shiny, and chrome.
There you go.
There you go. That is it.
That's what they say.
I mean, everything looked like the world building was amazing. Everything looked great. You know, there's so much post-apocalyptic stuff to where it's just like cheesy and lame, and it just goes too far. I never once thought something looked kind of lame or a little too out there. You just bought into everything. You bought into the fact that, how do they know that he's a universal donor? What are they like? They got like a blood testing machine there? It's like, you know, you just go with it.
I went with it.
I went with it.
It was quite the ride.
High octane blood, apparently.
Yeah.
Blood bag. I love it. No, I mean, there's so many great things about that movie, and it looked amazing. And just knowing that so much of that was done practically, it just blows me away even thinking about it. But, and I saw it in 2D. I can only imagine the effect of seeing it in 3D or an IMAX or anything like that. Did you guys see it 2D or 3D?
2D. I was going to do the 3D thing, but I changed my mind the last minute.
I saw IMAX, but it was actually a 2D IMAX. I didn't even know they had those. It was in Palm Springs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I thought they just did the supercharge up and made all IMAX 3D so they could charge like $1,000.
Seriously. We're making back our budget off of this guy.
Yeah.
All right, so give it a grade. Dave.
A.
Randy.
A.
I give it A as well.
Wait.
AAA. Triple threat.
Yeah, do it. It's the best.
So that may be very well the first of a trilogy, and the next one is looking to be called Wasteland, according to Mr. Miller.
I like the sound of that.
I do too. That totally tripped me out was the that kind of the wetlands, that marshy area. That was pretty badass. Where it was all muddy and gross.
And there and there were those weird guys on the stilts. Yeah,
yeah, that was neat.
And it looked like they were wearing like big fake feathers or something like that.
Yeah, because the crows came. They said, the crows.
"Yeah."
Yeah. Now, are they talking about? Were they literally referring to the crows, or were they referring to these people that walk around and scavenge like crows? Ooh, what were they talking about?
Movie makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Curious. Well, good.
Yeah.
What's next? Well, fucking Simpsons did it.
Yeah. Hey,
Simpsons. These guys have been on the air for a billion years, almost my entire life.
Yeah. Well, they just got renewed for season 27 and 28, and all the cast members got decent pay increases, but Harry Shearer, who plays Flanders, Mr. Burns, and a litany of other characters, but those are his two biggies, has decided that 26 years is more than enough for him to play these characters. The producers offered him the same contract, you know, monetarily, but they went so far as to say, hey, you can actually do your role via phone. You don't have to come into the studio. You can do it all over the phone. You know, we don't want to break the band up. And Harry Shearer still said no. It's supposedly amicable, but I don't see how you could turn down a pretty sweet gig like that unless either you're just totally tired of it, you want it to be over, or there's some form of backstage problems. Hopefully it doesn't bite him in the butt. They plan on not killing off either character. They're going to probably recast. And like Randy was saying earlier, I'm sure they'll find someone who does a pretty good Flanders imitation or a pretty good, you know, Mr. Burns imitation and pay them a third of what they would have paid Shearer.
Exactly, because that show's been around so long and there are so many people who are good at mimicking others' voices. You just find somebody to essentially do an impersonation, and the average TV-watching public is not going to know the difference. So more power to him, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
I watch it like once every 4 or 5 months, and it still makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It's just pretty funny. And it never, wherever it begins is totally nothing to do with the episode. That's what cracks me up the most.
Right.
They might end up on another planet before the show's over. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I watched it as a kid. Now my kids are watching it as kids.
It's been that is pretty crazy.
It's been on that long. Like, my kids want to watch Simpsons.
I haven't watched any episodes since, you know, when they first aired, when they were brand new, since the 90s. So I am several seasons behind, and I would love if they ever become available all on one streaming service just to binge watch the holy shit out of that for, like, weeks.
I wonder how long it would take. Didn't someone do the math? FX
did it. Yeah, FX did the first 25 seasons with the movie, and it took 11 days. They played it 24 hours a day.
Wow.
But with commercials, right?
With commercials, yeah. But they played all the seasons and the movie in the proper chronological order.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do? Bigger and better things, I guess.
Yeah. Now, they just got renewed for 27 and 28. Do you think, since they're that close, do they just go to 30? Or do you think they could conceivably end it after 28?
Well, if you go to 30, you got to go to 31.
So, yeah.
Then the asshole can do 30. 31.
Can't have just one. Can't have just 28.
Yeah, you're all shit. Survivor's on 31, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but they do 2 a year.
Yeah, they do.
They cheat.
Cheat us?
Season finale of that is Wednesday.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I can't believe you guys still watch that shit. We spent a whole trip to Comic-Con talking about that stupid show. I don't even watch it.
I only started watching it like 2 or 3 years ago. I'm a new convert, so it's still a new thing to me.
Ugh. Yeah. Who's the one guy that's like an FBI agent that was on the soup all the time?
Talking about Philip Shepard?
Yeah, Philip, yeah.
What's he up to these days?
With his little pink underwear.
Yeah, he wrote a book called The Costa Rican Job about a CIA agent.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know what else I can't believe?
What's that?
Warner Brothers making a new Fugitive movie.
What?
I know, that's absurd. I enjoy the shit out of the first one. I'm sure you guys do too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember the trailer.
His prime.
Remember the trailer when Tommy Lee Jones was all doing this little... Rounding up the troops. Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes. Average foot speed over uneven ground. Something about injuries is 4 miles per hour. That gives us a radius of 6 miles. He holds up his fingers like an asshole. What I want for each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, and doghouse.
Huh.
Fucking awesome.
It is. Tommy Lee Jones kills it. Harrison Ford kills it. It was like the
Wesley
perfect
Snipes
storm.
Kills it.
Oh, yeah.
What
and Robert
that
Downey Jr. That was called U.S. Marshals.
There you go. That's a good one. Except that one guy dies. I didn't like that.
Yeah. And Robert Downey Jr. is the bad guy in that one.
Spoiler alert. What an asshole, man.
But yeah, Fugitive was
Robert
like the,
Downey Jr.
Yeah, Fugitive was like the perfect storm. Like, it was just such an amazing movie. It came out like right at the right time of summer. And it was just what an adult drama should be, and it was just remarkable.
Oh, I know, man. What's her cheese?
Let's not gloss over the fact that, Justin, you had that entire freaking speech memorized.
Not all of it. Hell? I didn't remember that.
I'm dumbfounded over here that you knew that. I was like,
dude,
damn.
That's one of my favorite movies. I have it on VHS.
Nice. I just had to stop the flow for a moment. Just
Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Go get him. Oh, man. I love that movie. And you know who's in that is Jane Lynch. She's his friend.
Yeah. It's funny how she pops up in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You don't notice it.
Oh, my God. I like it when she sings like that soccer song in 40-Year-Old Virgin. I forget what she's singing, but it was. I remember it being funny.
I will haunt your dreams.
She's hilarious, dude.
She is.
I like her. She's a very funny woman.
Yeah. I don't care. Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. I didn't kill my wife.
I don't care. And he jumps. Idiot.
Idiot.
But he
leaves. Yeah, and our buddy's in it, too. Mike Lowry's boss.
Yeah. Joey Pantaleone.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, why are you yelling at me? You're always yelling at me. I don't know. He's good. I might have to watch it. Is it on the Netflix? Does anyone know?
I don't know, but I want to find it. I might have it on DVD. I'll have to look. So hard to put in DVDs, though. I got to turn it on.
God, I watch everything on Netflix now, even if I own it.
I just want to get rid of all my DVDs. I'm like, I'm never going to put these fucking things in again.
I know.
It's not on Netflix. I'm not interested.
Exactly. Or Prime. I watch your stuff on Prime, too.
Yeah, I have Prime. So it's got to be on one of those.
I noticed how you blamed Amazon for your package being in your front yard when it's your piece of shit delivery guy that's the problem.
Well, they hired him.
Amazon's amazing.
It's funnier to blame a drone, though. Goddamn drones.
Well, it came from Amazon, so they're responsible.
That's not true.
I purchased it from Amazon. How they get it to me is not my concern. They entrusted these people to get it to me, so it's on them for their poor delivery service.
That's not true. The delivery service entrusted that driver to get it to you on time.
And so they can blame the driver and be mad at him. But I didn't. I'm not part of their internal distribution system. Yeah. I entered into a contract with Amazon.com for my item.
Yeah, and they sent to you.
That's right.
It's but up to the other asshole to get it to your front door.
Just like when a big old chain of blame.
Just like when they shipped my goddamn gunship and just shipped it in the box it came in.
That was their fault.
That was a dick move, Amazon.
That was when they were still working out of Jeff Bezos' garage.
Yeah. And they were like,
that's what caused the falling out. Your customer complaint went straight to the big guy's desk. And I complained for you. Then he ended relations with Toys R Us.
So it's your fault.
No, it is my fault. No, I am the solution, Dave. I am the one that fixed it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
That'll never happen again. 50 DKP again.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, it rains like four
in a long time.
It rains like 4 days a year in California, and the one day that I have an Amazon package in my front yard, it rains.
You guys need it. I hear you're dying over there. You're allowed to, you can take like 30-second showers and you can't water your lawns or some shit?
If you're even number house, you can water your house on even number days, and odd number houses can water their lawns on odd number days.
Why don't you guys just all get gravel? Or have sand pits?
Because that looks ugly as shit.
They call it a desert garden. Yeah, succulents, you see?
Rake some lines in it. Don't be such an asshole. God. You're killing our planet.
Yeah, it's a Zen garden. It'll calm you down.
Fucking too. Hideous.
You have that ocean right in your backyard. Why don't you use that water?
We're not plenty of planet. Water's plentiful everywhere else. People just need to realize we live in a desert. Southern California is a desert. It happens.
It's trying to be, and you're stopping it by watering your fucking lawn.
Right.
Mother Nature didn't want California being any kind of oasis.
No. Idiots. You're the police, and California's saying, fuck you. That's how it works.
And we're shooting it.
You could have Mad Max film in your backyard next year.
We could. It'd
be amazing.
But succulents are ugly as shit.
What's a fuck killed?
Like low water plants, like cactuses and like other plants.
Because it sucks up the little bit of water that's in the ground.
Yeah.
Succulent.
Amy wants to do shit in our front yard. I'm like, oh, that's rough.
See, I don't like Southwest anything. And when I think of desert, that's what I think of.
Yeah.
Southwest. Like all those pastel-y colors and shit.
Yeah, like pinkish and greenish.
Yeah, and adobe.
Reminds me of my entire drive through Arizona and New Mexico.
It reminds me of my entire childhood, having grown up in the desert. I don't want to be a part of it. Some cacti are lovely, though.
No.
Yes. Like the ones that look like little flowers and have like purple thorns.
Yeah, the problem is they have to be in dirt. I like grass.
Right. That goes back to the sand pit I was talking. You can have a Sarlacc pit in your front yard, Dave.
I would rather pave over in concrete than have succulents in my front yard.
That's your attitude.
Yeah, it is. Exactly my attitude. 100%.
Such a meanie. So this fugitive movie, we are anti the whole deal, right?
To bring it around full circle.
Well, who knows? Maybe they'll bring back Tommy Lee Jones.
No, they're not. He died a couple years ago.
No, that was in a movie.
Oh. That was Batman Forever.
Yeah, he got better.
What is he doing these days?
Not much. He was in the First Avenger.
What? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. You know who direct... Oh, my God. I totally forgot to talk to you about this the other day. Okay, so I had a Jurassic Park marathon.
Oh, nice.
And your
Joe
buddy...
Joe Johnston directed all of
I was like, are you fucking kidding me with this movie right now?
Yeah, he was Spielberg's boy for a while.
Could not believe it. I'm seeing Joe Johnston, and I'm like, that motherfucker.
Yeah, he doesn't do good shit.
Man.
My favorite one of his movies is First Avenger.
Oh, really? I kind of like October Sky.
Yeah.
I think that's a good movie.
And I hate the time period that he put Winter Soldier in. He likes that. He likes time period movies.
Mm-hmm.
With his fucking Rocketeer.
Rocketeer, fucking October Skies. It's old.
Right.
Space race stuff.
You know, Randy, he stole from George Lucas. You can't like him.
Hidalgo.
That was Hidalgo.
Old. Yeah. Fucking Aragorn goes from Lord of the Rings to Hidalgo.
That was a decent movie.
No.
Did you ever watch that?
No. I was worried the horse was going to die, so I didn't want to watch it.
Honestly, I don't remember whether or not the horse does, but I remember actually thinking the movie was decent.
Because the description says, a down-and-out cowboy and his horse travel to Arabia to compete in a deadly cross-desert horse race.
Well, it's deadly because it's the fucking desert.
I know.
Man was not meant to traverse the desert.
And I'm just worried that maybe his horse is going to get killed. Yeah.
It's like those people do the Iditarod in Alaska.
Exactly. Well, with horses instead of dogs.
I know, and dogs die in that.
It's like, that dog died. If you guys weren't idiots racing across Alaska that we have planes to do now,
you know
that
what?
Dog wouldn't be dead anymore.
This actually brings me to my next point. I wanted to talk about that new vacation movie. And in the trailer, I mean, it's a funny trailer, but there's a part where a cow gets killed. And I hate when animals die for comedy relief, because I don't think it's funny.
How does he die?
He's riding like a lawnmower or like an ATV or something, and he rides it right into a cow.
Is it implied that he died? The cow dies?
Yeah, he goes, how's the cow? And they're looking at him like he's some kind of asshole, because he has guts and blood all over his face and chest.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, maybe I should watch it again. I don't remember that. I remember them in the lawnmower. I thought that... I believe you. Maybe it's a ruse. Maybe the cow doesn't die.
Oh, cow.
Maybe it's other blood and guts.
It's red milk.
It. Yeah. I'm just not a fan of animals dying and it's supposed to be funny. I don't think it is.
Well, maybe it is done something in a funny way.
No, there's nothing funny about killing animals. In my mind.
Well, David, we're fucked. We did kill a monkey in Pink Lemonade.
What if the cow, like, gets on its back feet and tries to, like, hold him up for money, and then Rusty Griswold runs him over and saves the day?
Nope.
I think that'd be fun.
Mm-mm.
this cow on two legs with a pistol?
Mm-mm.
I need to check your comedy meter. That is comedy gold.
Comedy.
I like in the Red Band trailer that they have no qualms playing up that like they're redoing Vacation. You want to redo Vacation?
Right.
You want to redo your Vacation from 30 years ago? This will be totally new, whole new thing. It sounds like it's just the same thing over again. No, ours will be way better.
Oh my god, and then the part where the girl gets destroyed by the truck?
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that made me laugh. With the holiday row. Ah!
Yeah. I'm so excited for that movie. I really am. I have a ridiculous soft spot in my heart for the Vacation movies. I mean,
Chris
even the
Hemsworth?
Bad ones.
Yeah.
Oh god.
He's playing one of Randy Quaid's kids, right?
Yeah. And it was funny. They Disney had an agreement with Universal or whoever makes Vacation. I can't remember the top of my head right now. That they wouldn't air that trailer until after the Avengers came out because they were afraid that people would then realize that Chris Hemsworth is like a comedy actor and like not take him serious as Thor.
I think they were funny.
I think they were overthinking that.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. So the remote works. Oh, I love it.
Is that supposed to be one of Cousin Eddie's kids or is that
I don't know.
I thought that was Audrey's husband.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, you're right. Because
right,
Leslie
right.
Mann's Audrey.
That's right. You're right.
Maybe there was some inbreeding.
No. You're one
I mean, it would make sense that it's one of Cousin Eddie's kids.
Definitely I mean... not.
No, yeah, it's Audrey's wife. Husband. Makes sad, Leslie Mann. I like Christina Applegate a lot. She's going to be Rusty's wife. I think she makes a very good like modern day Beverly D'Angelo.
Totally. Yeah, I'm super stoked about the movie. I don't know how...
Watch your own front.
And I like that Evan Goldstein went to bat, and the reason this movie's not already out is because the studio wanted to make a PG-13 movie, and he said, no, I want to make an R-rated movie. We need to sit down and talk about this more. And this movie was delayed entirely for rating purposes, and we're going to get an R-rated Vacation movie, which feels right.
Yeah, I'll totally agree with you there.
I like the opening credits to the Vacation, the original one, with all the different postcards from different scraps and stuff. Oh man, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And I don't think I told you guys this. I may have mentioned it before we started recording the show, but I actually saw the Red Band trailer on the big screen when I went to go see Mad Max yesterday.
That's exciting.
And I've never in my life seen a Red Band trailer on a big screen before. I've only ever watched them on a computer, so I thought that was kind of amazing. The moment the screen went up and it was red, I was like, oh my god, it's a Red Band trailer.
Yeah, I've gotten
like
a couple.
Sasquatch in the wild.
I remember the first time I got one was for a movie called Fat Beach, P-H-A-T. It came on like the 90s, and it like opened with like boobs. I'm like, they just had boobs in this trailer. I'm like, what's going on here?
It's like, this is going to be the best movie ever.
And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
They put boobs in their trailer. They know how to sell this movie. But it was awful.
And how?
Yeah, speaking of awful.
Speaking of awful. Supergirl.
I was going to say, that could segue to a lot of things.
I know. I had to think. I'm like, what else is on the top on the menu today? Meat's back on the menu, boys. Speaking of meat, Supergirl. Well, see what I did there? That is offensive. Just like this show. Dave hates it. I like it. Nothing new there.
Well, I'm clearly the minority because I've gotten like 3 Twitter fights and like 4 fights on Facebook. And
well,
I'm
quit. First,
I'm
you need
obviously
to quit hating
wrong.
Women and quit hating the idea that they can be amazing superheroes.
No, I like it. I feel that it's like insulting to women. Like this is basically a Superman, but a girl version of Superman. And so I like to think of, would they put Superman in this scenario? And there's so much wrong with the first half of the Super trailer, which is basically the synopsis of the first episode. It's Supergirl complaining about fashion and dating and like having her sister help her pick out an outfit for her date. And it's just,
it was like they made it into a sitcom.
Yeah, and it's so reminiscent of the Black Widow trailer that Saturday Night Live did. And it's almost, the music's almost exactly the same. And you got Calista Flockhart coming in, telling her, like, giving her, like, the business.
Oh, yeah, she's like Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, and just and they're just trying to make, how can we make Perry White into a girl? Because you couldn't have, you know, a girl editor in chief. She has to be like a head of like some fashion conglomerate. And it was just so ridiculous, and it just felt like just like this wacky tone that is just, I just think is an insult to women. And the effects were terrible. We're talking like 1999 Smallville style effects.
Maybe they weren't finished.
The show airs in like pretty soon, so I mean they better be finished. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm assuming they're going to show us at Comic-Con.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't put something like that out to the public on a mass scale and have it not be complete.
Yeah, because I mean it's been picked up, so I mean there's no need to like rush to get hype out there. They've already picked it up for the first season. And then I hate that she refers to Superman or Kal-El or whatever like her as her cousin in dialogue. Like, I get it, she's her cousin, but like I think the line is something that like it's like I don't remember. She has something my cousin, to where obviously it should have had like a name there instead of cousin, because they both know who we're talking about, because it was James Olsen, you know, not Jimmy Olsen. And it was, I don't know, but I guess I'm wrong because everyone else seems to like it, so I'm just a jerk.
Quit being such a jerk.
I guess I am. So email me, david@geeklegacy.com, if you agree with me, if you disagree with me, or hit me up on Twitter @snacky_cakes, or just @geeklegacy. We'll chat about it. Let me know what an idiot I am for not thinking this is going to be the best thing ever. I complain that Zack Snyder's too dark. I complain this is too light. There's just no pleasing me in the DC universe, I guess. There, I just gave you guys your argument. Bring the hate. And it screws Zack Snyder. We haven't said that this podcast yet.
Oh, it's been a while. Oh, well. What can you do?
I don't know. What would you guys think about it?
Oh, I think it's going to be the greatest show on television. No way. I said that with a straight face, Dave.
You couldn't even repeat it with a straight face.
What are you talking about? There's the cat. There's a Spider-Man meme on my computer right now. That's why I'm laughing.
Oh yeah,
those are funny.
What
this one's about killing babies.
Oh, and I love how her origin story is her saving a plane. We haven't seen this 1,000 times in every Superman.
I think it's to bring audiences to something familiar.
Oh yeah, it'll kind of draw some parallels. Oh, this chick really is like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does exactly what he does, only less cool.
And like, in a skirt.
And her sister's all mad at her for saving people. That's kind of
like
crazy.
Pa Kent.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I definitely got some Smallville flashbacks when I watched it too, but I'll give it a shot. I'll watch an episode or two of it just to kind of give it a chance. But here's the thing that baffles me. Isn't it going in the time slot that's exactly opposite of Gotham?
It is.
So it's like it's DC versus DC. In a way, it is kind of like Batman versus Superman.
Well, both shows are going to be terrible, so it's not like it makes a difference.
Well, one show already is terrible.
God, it is the worst. I hate it so much. God, I hate watching it. And every time I do, I just get sick to my stomach that I'm torturing myself. It is awful. Gotham sucks, and I can't believe it was renewed.
Yeah. I still watch it.
I am offended at the idea. I'm outraged.
Speaking of DC nonsense, have you guys been getting a lot of hate from people complaining about the Flash movie? Lord and Miller, the directors, have been talking about like what they want to do with the story, and they want to have theirs be Barry Allen as well. And people just are losing their shit that Grant Gustin is Barry Allen and Ezra Miller couldn't possibly be Barry Allen. You guys haven't had that? No, you guys are lucky.
I haven't heard any of that hate yet.
But... Oh, good. It's coming. It just broke a couple hours ago, so.
I am such a big fan of the Flash TV show that I would love to see a movie. I'd love to see him on the big screen. I understand DC's wisdom in keeping the cinematic universe and the TV universe separate. I know we've talked about it ad nauseum before, but it's still a source of frustration for me that they won't bridge that gap. They won't even try.
Have you seen Perks of Being a Wallflower?
I have not.
Don't laugh at me, Justin. it's a great movie. And Ezra Miller, who's going to play the Flash, he that's kind of like his breakout role, and he's amazing. And he's
I'm not faulting the casting at all.
And Lord and Miller, they did the Lego movie. They did 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street. They did the first Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. They're pretty money. I mean, they show ran Last Man on Earth, the Fox show with Will Forte, which was started out amazing. It kind of started to slip at the end. But I mean, they have their finger on the pulse and they know what they're doing. And the second that they were announced as the kind of like the creative team behind it, they haven't been officially announced as directors, but they're kind of moving the narrative for it. Is very exciting, and I think that their tone fits the Flash amazingly. And it's a shame that there's so many people out there who are giving it so much hate already, and who are saying like, "Oh, I'm just not going to see it. I'm over it." You know, they're full of shit. They're going to see it. If you're on a message board talking about the Flash, you're going to see a Flash movie if it was Burt Reynolds in it.
Ooh,
bringing it Burt back.
You see his little mustache. Through his costume, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm not Burt Reynolds.
It's like his mask has a mustache. It's not even his own. It's like the mask has one.
Yeah, it's like it's a plastic mustache that it's a mold of his mustache that can fit inside of it. That'd be awesome.
Like keeps lightning every bolts. Hair space. Mm-hmm. Like lightning bolt mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what Marvel did. They know what they're doing, and nobody knows the difference. And yeah. We talked about it last week.
That Ant-Man movie, man. Oh, we should talk about that really fast. Because we did an over-under for Mad Max, which Randy won, so now I got to buy alcohol at the Comic-Con there.
Woo-hoo.
The original number was going to be $59 million, and we said, Dave, you're fucking crazy. And Randy was like, no, it's going to make like $35 million. And I thought it was going to be even worse. I thought it was going to make in the teens. I said like $15 million. So we made the number 20, and then Randy took the over, I took the under. Actually blew us both out of the water with $45 million, which is pretty damn decent for a rated R action movie anyway.
Playing at 20 of my dollars.
Yeah. You know. And so with Ant-Man, I'm thinking about this, and do we all think that it's going to be the lowest dollar amount in the theater? You don't?
Definitely.
Of the Marvel movies?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I think it'll make more than both the first Thor and the first Captain America.
Really?
Oh, I don't think so. I'll take the under on that bet.
Okay.
So will I.
So you both think it'll make less than... Let's get the exact numbers here.
So Thor... How much did Thor make?
Somewhere in the 40s, I think. I want to say they both made in like around the 40s.
I'd say we can use Mad Max as a benchmark and say over under 45.
Let's see. Captain America's opening weekend... Was 65. Huh.
Hey, you piece of shit.
I'd have been wrong. Okay, let's see what first Thor was.
65.
Oh wow, they almost made the exact same amount of money. Mm. I say it makes more than I say it makes more than 65. I think it makes more than Thor.
I'll take that bet.
As will I. And if
what are the stakes, my mates?
We'll buy you dinner at Comic-Con.
Unfortunately, it comes out after Comic-Con.
I'll let you next open your mouth Comic-Con. So I can put my penis in it. How about that?
I don't think my wife would be too keen on that.
I thought it came out the beginning of July.
No. It was at the end of July.
It does?
Yeah, let me...
No, you say that. What?
No, it comes out like it's the very last weekend of July.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, I was until you said, are you kidding me? I
could have sworn it was sooner, but...
Oh, my God. What a fucking dumb movie. Yeah, I thought it was like one of the first or second weekends in July.
Because Disney has Pixar come... July 17th, sorry. So the weekend
after. Oh, we're going to miss it. So we'll just assume that Randy and I win the bet. And then we'll make it up to you next time we meet.
I don't think that's the way it works.
I'm not going to wait a year to get my dick sucked.
Well, hey, it's pretty good. You have to fly down for it if you want it.
Man.
I mean, them's the breaks. I'm sure
I feel like I'm getting the raw end of the deal no matter how you slice it.
Well, I mean, you're really getting the good end of the deal because you're going to lose.
Oh.
I mean, you don't want to lose, do you?
Anyway, either way, we'll think of something. We got time. But, yeah, I'll definitely take the under with Randy on that one.
Sure.
All right.
I'm confident it'll make more than 65.
Do you think World of Warcraft will make more than 65 million opening?
I think World of Warcraft will make like 700 trillion.
Yeah, it's going to make all the money. If it can pry the WoW players away from their computers. computer.
You know what Blizzard should do? They should, anybody that pre-orders their ticket should get like 3 free months of World of Warcraft, just to kind of inflate
some kind of sales bonus.
Yeah. That would inflate sales like a son of a bitch.
Oh my god, yeah.
That's what I would do.
That's actually kind of brilliant. I don't think they need to, but if they wanted to, man, they could just they could rape the box office.
Yes, they could be. It can make Avatar money. 7 million subscribers.
But that orc picture,
huh?
That you guys got to see at BlizzCon that I saw for the first time today.
We got to see it move. Amazing. It was a motion picture when we saw it.
What? No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No motion picture show.
Yeah, it was. The picture was moving. There were several pictures. They's moving.
Like a flip book.
We got exactly just like a flip book.
Like the Penny Arcade.
Yeah, someone was cranking it. It was like a zoetrope. Man. They spun it.
That's awesome.
And you missed it.
That movie looks amazing. I'm so super stoked for it. I don't even play WoW anymore, but it still excites the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's Orgrim Doomhammer.
Why do they call him that?
Because his weapon is called the Doomhammer.
Why is he called that?
It's a hammer of doom. It's like Thor's hammer, basically.
But it kills more people. It kills fools.
But he's not afraid.
The opposite of the hammer of doom, or the doom
the hammer of peace,
like
the life of peace,
the peace sword,
sex hammer.
I like that. That's your new nickname, sex hammer.
Exactly.
I call you the sex hammer.
Sure, we're gonna put that on the back of your Geek Legacy shirt this year instead of the armor.
Hey,
sex hammer. If you want to over and under, here's an over under for you for the box office. We can settle before Comic Con. Terminator Genesis plus Jurassic World opening weekends combined plus or minus 110.
Oh god. Well, Jurassic World's gonna crush it, I think.
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Oh man, I think it's gonna make stupid money. I think you're gonna be offended by the amount of money it makes since you hate Chris Pratt and you hate dinosaurs.
I clearly do not hate either one of those. All right, we'll go 125 since you think
it's high now.
Oh yeah. All right, yeah, we'll go with my original. Okay, so I'm saying 110 combined, okay. Over under.
Ooh, that's tough. This is where it gets interesting because I think that Jurassic World is gonna crush it. I think we're looking at somewhere in the high 70s.
Yeah, I would say around 75 for Jurassic World, but I'm gonna say 50 or under for Terminator because I don't think it's gonna perform.
Yeah, I say 30 for Terminator. So
I would be inclined.
So I said 105.
Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna say under, Dave.
All right, and you going over?
I would go under as well, to be honest.
You just said like 75 and 50.
But then Justin said, 30. I'm like, that's probably more realistic.
Yeah, so I'm thinking 105, 107 between the two of them.
I would say closer to 100 myself.
All right, so let's set it at 100 then.
Dave!
Well, you both picked under.
I know!
Okay,
why can't we bet you?
Oh, sure. Okay, you want to do that? Okay, 110's the number. You guys both got under. I got over.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think it's going to do more than that?
Do I think it is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's just saying that.
It's more fun if I do. I think the
pick
Jurassic
the number that you want us to be under. Like, what about? Okay, yeah. See, that's a respectable number, though. 100.
I think 110 is an attainable number for the two of them. I think that it's early enough in the summer to where people aren't blockbustered out, and I think that Jurassic World will perform amazingly its first weekend. I think it'll drop off significantly. If I don't know. It could be an amazing movie. We haven't seen a lot of it yet, but from what we've seen, I'm not given a lot of faith, but. If it drops off like I think it will, I think it'll have a big opening weekend. I could see it doing $80 million its first weekend.
Jurassic World?
Jurassic World. And Terminator Genesis, I could see just on the Terminator name alone, it making, $35, $40 million.
I think people may have been burned after the last Terminator movie, after the last two. And I don't know if that name holds as much hype behind it.
Yeah, but Arnold just did that. He's coming off that Maggie movie. And everyone says that he crushes it.
Now. He does. Have you guys seen it?
Uh-uh. No.
It's pretty sad. But I think 110.
Does Maggie die?
Spoiler.
Did they not come up with a cure?
Maggie's already dead. She's a zombie. What are you talking about?
I thought she's just infected and then she's slow. Rather than it taking minutes, it takes weeks.
Well, shit happens. Zombie apocalypse. 110's the number. You guys both say under?
Yeah.
Barely. All right. Just barely. Because even if, because I originally was thinking that, Jurassic Park could do upwards of like 83 to 85, but then I was like, nah, that's being too generous. But I wouldn't be surprised if it did over 80. Mm-hmm. But either way, Terminator's going to die. It's going to it's gonna need to be rebooted again.
So Randy's going to be just slobbering drunk if he wins this one, too.
Is this one for more booze, or is this one going to be for food?
We can do food. So, that way you'll have dinner and the drinks.
Yeah, because we can't do Ant-Man, so we'll use this one as dinner.
There you go. 110's the number you guys got under, I got over.
When do these movies come out?
They come out, one comes out July, what's it called? Comes out July 2nd. Terminator Genisys, July 2nd. June 17th, I believe, for...
12th. It's the same day as our screening for Nonstop.
That's right. June 12th.
Huh.
So they'll both be out. They'll both have their opening weekends before Comic-Con.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. Things that aren't interesting, like Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, so I'm telling you, man. This show's really losing my interest.
Well, I'm fine with a lot of setup because it'll have a sweet payout, but we're in episode, what, 6 now? Mm-hmm. That was episode 6. I would have liked to have seen the first 5 episodes building up to a 6 through 10 conclusion.
Yeah, we're past the halfway point.
Yeah. And I was hoping that we would have a Wall conclusion that we have in the books this season, and that we would have a Braavos conclusion that we had in the books, and a King's Landing conclusion.
You're not getting any of that shit.
I don't think we are. I don't think we're going to get the Walk. I don't think we're going to get the Wall, and I don't think we're going to get the thing with Arya.
Okay, so I think it might end with the Walk.
Really? I hope not. I would not be satisfied with that.
I think that's the hook that's going to get everybody excited again.
I think they end on the total what the fuck moment at the Wall. Like, could you imagine that's like the last thing you see before it goes to black?
Maybe. That's what happened a couple of years ago when I read the book.
I know, but I think that's what I'm saying. I think like I remember having a visceral reaction. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck just happened? And I think that should carry over into the show.
The problem with that though, Dave, is that's one of those things that will make people so mad. Do you think that a year is enough time to recuperate to want to come back to it? Because we all know that people get upset. And, you know, the Red Wedding was fine, but it was characters that we don't really care about. If those were a couple of different characters, then I think it might have been... There would have been a different story.
Right, if it's Tyrion and Jaime.
Yeah, there's a few core characters in this show that people love. And that is, whether we like it or not, Daenerys, Tyrion... Jon Snow and Arya, I would say, are the big four. They're the ones that make people watch this show.
I would agree with that.
So, if anything, God forbid, were to happen to one of these four characters, that's upsetting to people. That's enough for someone just to walk away. Some people threw their books when shit went down. I remember hearing about one of my idiot friends and I say that because we're no longer friends anymore, he's a fucker, he threw his book at the Red Wedding, and he didn't even want to touch it ever again. He was that mad. Some people just walk away from shit.
Yeah, but I think a lot of, I'm hearing a lot of stuff that people are dissatisfied with this season.
They are.
Not going places and being boring and stuff like that. And I think that would be like a shot of adrenaline to their heart, like, you know, like, what? No, what?
Really? You don't think it would be like a final nail in the coffin where they've been bored this whole season and then maybe someone doesn't make it and then they just get mad and say, fuck it, I'm done with it?
Well, I think they need to have... I would love to see this in Empire Strikes Back style. I would love to see
Vader,
the Arya thing and Wall stuff and stuff over at Marine. I'd like to see, I think if...
You're not going to get Marine, though.
Why, they've opened the fighting pits.
I know, but it's...
Mormont's almost there.
He's got time about dwarfs. Well, it's totally different. That whole thing is completely different now.
Yeah.
Damn it, Randy, you need to read books.
I think I think that it would be... Those three stories would be great because there would be sadness, there would be confusion, and there would be joy. In those three storylines. And I think if you had all three of them, then you can end on the one sad part.
No, I think you're going to end with fucking dragon riding, and it's going to be annoying. I think the last shot you see is dragon riding.
I do like to end on that Daenerys, bro. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Fuck that shit.
I guess, Randy, you probably could have assumed that eventually someone would ride on a dragon.
Yeah, pretty much. I would have to imagine.
Now that they're bigger.
That Drogon's huge.
Yeah. I was kind of bummed that Mormont didn't, like, say, like...
Go, ka ka a little part.
Like, and Tyrion was all, like, transfixed on it. He could have said, like, oh, that's Drogon. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
He kills kids. You look like a kid.
Yeah.
I like that Tyrion convinced the guy to keep him alive so Pearson would see it was a real dwarf's cock.
Right, that was funny.
He's like, don't know because it's tiny. He's like,
Guess again. Guess
again, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. The So what do you guys think of this whole Dorne storyline? Are you feeling it or no?
No, I hate everything Dorne.
That's too bad. They were supposed to be the cool ones.
I hated him in the book. Hated him in the show.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of like how things went to shit down there. So now they're all captured.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's interesting. It's kind of intriguing. And being that I don't know anything about the storyline or where it should be going, I'm enjoying it.
Well, it's changed.
Yeah, I like the book.
It's all new to us, too.
The book way was kind of cool. There was like there was a group within Dorne that tried to smuggle Marcella out. And that all went to shit. And like Marcella got like hurt.
Yeah. Disfigured.
Yeah, like cut her face or something.
I think there was her ear. Ear was cut off or something.
Yeah, those Lannisters, they don't keep their thing. I don't know, I don't like that poor Marjorie Tyrell.
Oh, yeah.
But that just sets up other stuff that is rad.
I don't like how much power these religious nutjobs have. I think that that's absurd. But I do like how Littlefinger's thinking. He's ready to take over Winterfell himself.
Yeah.
Then he can marry old Sansa. Oh, that's another thing. Okay. So this whole show ends on a pretty dark note. Seeing what we know as a child basically being raped.
Yeah.
You know, we look at her as a teen. In Westeros world, she's, you know, a woman, but as far as we're concerned, she's a young girl.
Right.
And
with Theon watching.
With Theon watching, yes. That's bad.
I thought Theon was going to crack his head.
I thought it was going to be that end of Return of the Jedi moment while Vader's standing there watching the Emperor kill his son. And he was just going to snap and throw him into a reactor pit.
So now you guys bring up an interesting point. Is Theon Greyjoy, does he have a redeeming quality?
He's still inside there, you can tell.
And remember, he didn't kill the kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, he turned his back and he indirectly led to the death of her older brother and her mother. But he didn't actually kill her parents or her brothers. So I think that there is a redeeming story, but he needs to die in that redemption story. He needs to die saving Sansa for there to be any kind of redemptive story. But I think he can be redeemed.
I'll agree with that 100%.
I don't think they can pull it off to where he saves her and like they like ride off into the sunset to like go find Rickon and Bran.
Mm-hmm.
And where the hell is Rickon?
Like, I know. I was thinking about him today on my way home from Costco.
I'm like, I know where Bran went, but I can't remember where Rickon went.
We technically don't know where he is, but he gets mentioned again in book 5.
He does?
Yeah, remember when Davos goes to that other city to recruit people for Stannis? We think that he's killed. Remember in book 4, there's this... they mentioned that Davos was murdered. And you're like, what the fuck? That's terrible. And then in book 5, you find out it's all ruse, but it's like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing with Stannis and, you know, because Theon was with Stannis in the book and...
Yeah, it's definitely, we talked about this last week, how it's at the point where it's now two very different stories.
Yeah.
And whether you like it or not, we don't know what's next. Book readers are indeed going to be surprised.
Yeah. Tommen might not die.
Who?
I'm just kidding. I don't want to throw any real names just in case it happens, and they'll be like, fucking David.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yep.
We've gone far enough along to where they're not going to bring in any of these undead people, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. So I can, like, talk about it, you think?
Yeah, go for it.
So, Randy, one of the plot threads that they have thankfully thrown away is that Catelyn Stark comes back as like a zombie person.
Oh wow! And I would not have seen that coming.
Who can't talk,
and because she got her throat slit, and like she leads. You remember the guy with the flaming sword?
Yeah, the Brotherhood Without Banners.
Yeah, so she like becomes like their leader, and then like she's like disappointed in Brienne because Brienne was like talking to Jaime and like with friends with Jaime, and the Lannisters betrayed them, and so Brienne like lures Jaime out into like nowhere to like get hung, or Brienne gets hung, and then she lives. And oh man,
yeah, you think she dies. Book 4 yeah. ends with you thinking that she dies.
Yeah, it's with Catelyn Stark or zombie Catelyn Stark hanging Brienne, and then book 5 Brienne says that she's still loyal and delivers the Kingslayer to her.
Spoilers.
Yeah. But there's no, I mean, it's way too far for it to happen now.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
This is interesting, like book 4 shit.
Yeah, I mean, at some point in time when the series is all done, I might go back and read the books. And then at that point, assuming the books ever get finished, and then just kind of see how they diverge.
Yeah.
But
it would actually be easier for you just because now you know character names
and visual.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, you'll see the actors that played them. I thought Harry Potter books were a lot easier to read that way too. I didn't start reading the Harry Potter books until like I'd seen two of the movies.
Same here. I had seen the first 6 movies before I read the books. So it was only Deathly Hallows that I didn't that I read the book before seeing the movie.
I saw the first movie and then read the book, so I had everyone's faces pretty much in my head.
Except, well, there was someone like Sirius who ended up being one of your favorite characters.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting for you to see
Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Game of Thrones, man. There was something else I wanted to say, but I don't remember now.
Well, you were talking about characters that are story plot lines that are no longer a thing.
Yeah, that's the big one.
So maybe even like Cold Hands.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's not coming. There was like a White Walker that was on the side of the good guys, like who helped like Sam and Gilly and Bran, I guess, at the same point.
Yeah,
I remember hearing you guys talk about Cold Hands before.
Because we thought it was going to be not Brendan Stark. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Ned Stark's brother, who's in the Night's Watch.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought it was him. I mean, who knows? It may end up being him, but he's not in the show.
Yeah, what was his name? Benjen?
Yeah, there you go. Benjen. Benjen Stark. Jon fucking Snow.
Hey, guys, you know what I got?
What do you got?
I got another fun list/game for us if you guys are up for it this week.
Oh, those are my favorite.
I know. I love combining the two. Killing two birds with one stone. Not that we condone killing any animals on this podcast. Okay, so the list that I'm staring at right now comes courtesy of Den of Geek, and it is 18 films that took their inspiration from James Bond movies. So what I'm going to task you guys with is give me 3, and we're just going to do 3 this time because it's a much smaller list than last week. Give me 3 movies that you think were inspired by James Bond.
What? I don't know.
How recent is the list?
Basically, think of spy movies.
But how recent?
The list itself was constructed just this month, and it's got movies dating back to the 60s, like in the Bond craze. I don't expect you guys to guess those ones unless you sneakily Google or IMDb it. But there have been quite a few spy movies and things of that genre that have come out in the decades since. So I trust you guys will be able to come up with 3 unique ones apiece.
All right. Ready.
All right. Now, who went first last week?
I went first last time.
All right, David, you're going to go first this week.
All right, Bourne Identity.
Oh, I was going to do fucking Bourne. God damn it.
All right.
What an asshole.
Justin, what do you got?
Austin Powers.
All right, that's a good one. David.
Ooh, shit. Spy movie. True Lies. My favorite spy movie.
Ooh. Another good one. And Justin.
I don't know.
Spy, espionage, action-y kind of movies.
I don't know.
There's one that came out this year.
What was the one that had Val Kilmer, The Saint?
The Saint.
Oh, The Saint. Okay.
Elizabeth Shue.
I like Val Kilmer. All right, David.
As a film nerd, I am going to go outside the box and also attempt to earn brownie points with Mr. Randy Van Dyke, because when after Spielberg made Jaws, he said he wanted to make a James Bond movie, and Mr. Lucas said, forget James Bond, let me tell you about Indiana Jones. So I'm going to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
All right, that is a very good answer. Justin, what do you got?
You said that one came out this year already? Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Fucking Kingsman! That's one of my favorite movies!
All right, that was good. A badass movie, too. Woo! I love that movie.
So good.
All right, now let's just do one more in case we need a tiebreaker, if you guys can think of a fourth. If not, we'll roll with what we got.
I'm going to go with another random odd choice. Have you guys ever seen the Richard Grieco movie, If Looks Could Kill?
Yeah, it was awesome with I Am the French Teacher.
I Am the French Teacher. I'm going to look If Looks Could Kill.
All right, Justin, what do you got for your tiebreaker?
A spy movie?
Mm-hmm.
Mission Impossible?
That's a very good one.
Yes, it is.
All right.
I thought
so here
sure
we go.
You were going to say Triple X.
Triple X was on the list, guys.
I don't know.
It was on the list.
The only line I don't remember from that movie is bitches, calm. Like the Russian guy. That's it. That's all I remember. Was Samuel Jackson in that movie?
Yes, he is. He's the boss, like the head guy.
All right, guys. Now, this is a list of 18, and you have named 8 total. So let's see how many of them actually appear on the list. All right, David, you got Bourne Identity. We'll just go with the Bourne Saga, and you are on the list.
Sweet.
Ding, ding, ding. That is a point for Mr. Edmondson. And Justin, Austin Powers, of course. Of course that movie is on the list.
It's been on HBO a lot. It's so funny still.
All right, David. True Lies, also on the list.
Name is Harry, isn't it?
Yeah, Harry Tasker.
Now, Justin, The Saint. I'm scrolling through the list.
That's five. That's more of a cat burglar movie, I guess.
It's a fine film, though. I like Elizabeth Shue a lot.
That was when Val Kilmer was like still kind of cool before he got fat and had a ranch. Aww.
All right, David, Raiders of the Lost Ark also on the list.
Yeah.
By default, you end up winning, but Justin, let's see. You had Kingsman, which is also on the list. Justin, Mission Impossible, also on the list, which was your tiebreaker. And David, If Looks Could Kill, is also on the list. So, David, all four of yours are on the list. Justin, 3 of yours were. It was a close game, but a good one.
Was, like, La Femme Nikita on there?
It was. Ugh. Let's just go over some of them here. Mission Impossible, which you got. Triple X, Stormbreaker, OSS 117, Cairo Nest of Spies, which came out in 2006. It's the guy that did The Artist. It was, like, the film that he did before that. It was kind of like a French James Bond, and it was like his homage to the series.
Can we all admit that The Artist is terrible?
What about Spies Like Us?
Ooh. Spies Like Us, it was actually not on this list, but I would have given you points for it because it should have been. Triple Hex, Bourne, Austin Powers, True Lies, Patriot Games. We didn't do any of the Jack Ryan movies.
Well, he's not really that's different, I guess. He's a spy from his desk.
He's the good guy. He's a good spy.
If Looks Could Kill, a.k.a. Teen Agent, 1991.
Michael Corbin was his name in that movie.
Is a.k.a. Teen Agent part of the title?
That's what it says. Well, that may have been just like a title it was released under in Europe or something. Femme Nikita, Armor of God, 1986, Jackie Chan? Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Sabata, which is a movie from 1969, never heard of, starring Lee Van Cleef from all the spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, he's cool. He just died.
Danger Diabolic, 1968. I mean, a lot of these are total just carbon copy Bond movies. Deadlier Than the Male, 1967. And it's got like a bunch of chicks in bikinis with spear guns on the poster. Totally cashing in on the Bond hype. Murderer's Row, 1966. Our Man Flint, 1966. Oh. And last but not least, The Ipcress File, 1965.
Michael Caine, I mean?
Michael Caine, uh-huh. Produced by Harry Saltzman, which I believe also had something to do with Bond movies.
Oh.
I've seen that name a lot.
I had said that Lee Van Cleef had just died, but I was thinking the other guy, Eli Wallach, just died. A year ago. Well, I mean, he died a year ago, but he's 98 fucking years old. That's impressive.
Yeah. So that's our fun list.
What, Sneakers wasn't on that list? I thought of Sneakers just now.
Sneakers was not on this list. But I have to imagine that there are a lot of films that you could have said that would have, that should have probably been on this list and were just overseen.
Well, I was going to say Sneakers, so technically I should win because I would have gotten five movies instead of three movies. But Sneakers
wasn't on
the list. I know, but he would give me points because it was a good movie to say.
Well,
he doesn't do the list right. You got to do it to where...
I had thrown out XXX.
You get bonus points.
I would have got that as well.
This is true.
Sneakers is criminally underrated.
And La Femme Nikita you also threw out, which would have been points. So,
Dave, you cheat. You could just throw out movies.
Like Tourette's, just shouting out movie titles.
Bullshit. Is that it?
That's it.
That's a great list and a great game, Mr. Van Dyke. Brad.
Times all around.
Yes.
All right, then. Now I gotta watch The Fugitive and If Looks Could Kill.
Shit.
Combat condoms, remember that?
I do. With the lady with the scorpion?
Yeah, she's bad news bears.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news scorpions, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Before we zip up and pull out of here, I got a couple shout-outs. Number one, I want to thank again the Geek Fest Film Festival for picking Nonstop to Comic-Con to take around on this crazy geeky tour around cons all over the country. And thank you to the judges who voted us Best Feature and for the crowd who actually came out and watched us. It means the world to us that people actually went out, made time to go see the movie, and hopefully enjoyed it. And I also wanted to shout out to the Maniacs on Movies podcast, which I also appeared on last week, talking all about Nonstop to Comic-Con mostly. It's just some anecdotes about the production of the movie, and I was just kind of pimping out our screening at Atlantic City Boardwalk Con. Also want to thank all the websites that that posted about Nonstop to Comic-Con premiering at Atlantic City Boardwalk Con this weekend. So that was cool. Any extra press that we were able to get to help get people in the seats to watch our movie was a huge bonus for us. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to do that. Especially Justin here at Geek Legacy for writing us up and sci-fi talk and some of our other partners who also helped spread the word. Seventh Matrix, we really appreciate you guys tweeting and posting on your sites about our movie. We love the fact that you guys are on board with us on this crazy airplane ride.
Finn. I like it. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. That'll be $20.
Canadian. Put that shit in my hand.
Yeah, $15, little man. Great. Well, that does it for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Remember to check out Mr. Tony Tolato over at Sci-Fi Talk and Mr. Tim Byers over at Full Bleed. And you can also check out our premium content, which is connectpal.com/thegeekinitiative, where you will get all three of our amazing content in one place. It's fabulous. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Whilst you're there, check out the other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. Of course, there are several now. You got the Comic Corner, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list, as well as the Pixelated Podcast, which as of today was ranked number 8 in video game podcasts on Podomatic.
Oh, damn. Top 10.
That's exciting stuff. And that is where we highlight 8 weeks worth of video games in the 60-minute window. How exciting is that? Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Geek Legacy, and check out Nonstop to Comic-Con when it travels to a town near you.
Yep, coming to Long Beach in September. Check it out.
I will mark my calendar. And you have a fabulous week.